Mike Wilner joins us on the line right now, host of Blue Jays Baseball. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Benjamin.
You forgot my name there for a second. First of all, happy birthday.
Ah, thank you.
Hey, yeah, this is kind of interesting yesterday as well, because on Twitter yesterday, people trying to guess your age. First of all, you've got a Wikipedia entry, which is good. Congratulations. I haven't quite reached that stage in my career where people can make stuff up about me on Wikipedia, but you're not going to divulge your age, right? You don't need to do that.
It wasn't a matter of people guessing. It was that a couple of the reporters out here at spring training were happy to wish me a happy 52nd birthday, and a lot of the Twitizens, I guess, just kind of bought that and rolled with it, which was, I don't know, a little bit painful, I have to say. But
you're not 52.
I'm not 52.
What is your middle name, though?
It is not Webster.
Okay. Do you want to divulge your middle name or not?
It will not be divulged until someone puts the right name up on Wikipedia, and want to see if that's possible, that can happen without me divulging it.
Okay. I mean, it would happen if you divulged it now. I think it would be on Wikipedia in a matter of minutes. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to go that way. Yeah, probably. There's Wikipedia spies listening right now, I think.
Wow. Well, it's a proud family name. It was the name of a great uncle of mine and a great grandfather. So my middle name is Samuel. It is not Webster.
Really? Okay.
Webster was a wonderful show in the 1980s.
Yeah.
There's a little creepy thing going on with Michael Jackson and the star of Webster.
Yes, but, no question.
But yeah, no. And Mitch Webster was a wonderful Blue Jay and Expo.
Yeah.
But it
Alan Webster. Yeah, so, okay, Samuel, that's good. I'm glad we're getting somewhere. Okay, but before we get to the baseball, actually, one last thing. Did you hear me talking about Mensa, the guy I was driving behind today with a Mensa bumper sticker? What are your thoughts on that, Mike? To me, it's... I don't hate on the intellectual elite, but that it kind of seems like a dick move. If you're advertising that you have a high IQ, to have a Mensa bumper sticker, your thoughts?
My thoughts are honestly, I'm not intellectualism and intelligence is looked down upon these days. Like, people are trying to hide how stupid they are, and people get upset with other people if they think they're smarter than they are. You know, you're a real big here, Ben, because I think that a lot of what's wrong with our society is that being smart is now...
That's not what I'm saying, though, Mike. No, that's not what I'm saying. You can be smart. No, I'm not... Listen, I consider myself rather intelligent. I don't know if I'm top 2% IQ in the entire world, but that's...
I think you're about top 40% for sure.
Okay, I don't know. That doesn't seem that great. I mean, there's a lot of stupid people out there. I don't know. I seem like I'd be higher than 40, but to say, to advertise that you're in the top 2% most intelligent people in the world just seems... It's like, okay, there's a lot of good-looking people out there, and I don't hate on the good-looking people, but to say, hey, listen, I'm top 2% best-looking people in the world. Look at me.
Well, what's weird about Mensa, though, is that, you know, you have to apply and you have to
exactly.
go through all these hoops and stuff. It's not...
It's self-congratulatory.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's so self-congratulatory, but it's more that, you know, there are a lot of really, really smart people who are not in Mensa, and a lot of people out there who aren't in Mensa who are a lot smarter than a lot of people who are,
right?
Because they just don't feel the need for that sort of validation. And I guess I see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
but
see?
To me, it just gets back people, smart people having to dumb themselves down.
And no.
It makes me think of politics and stuff and how now people... You know, this guy's way too
smart,
nose in the air and all that stuff. I'd rather have a president I can sit down and have a beer with.
No, that's stupid.
Which causes ruin and horrible things.
Yeah. No, that's stupid. I've never taken an IQ test, but I don't think I'm Mensa material. All right, so Irvin Santana goes to the Atlanta Braves, Mike. Like I was saying earlier, it really seemed like Alex Anthopoulos was pretty peeved that he got played. But in fairness... He played the market as well, and when you take a risk in waiting as long as he did to pull the trigger and hoping that your target lands right in your lap at the deal and term that you want, sometimes it's not going to work out. And in this case, it didn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy that one, because the truth is that nobody else had signed him. Nobody else was willing to give Irvin the money he wanted. And then there was that whole big, like, switching agents thing. And, yeah. And it wasn't till late last week that he decided he would go for a one-year deal. And still no one had signed him. And once the decision was made, and even probably even before it became public that Santana was willing to take a one-year deal, the Blue Jays had him, or at least thought they had him. You know, and so they didn't. I don't know that they got played. I don't know if I would say that they got used. I think they were a victim of circumstance, because if Chris Medlin hadn't hurt his elbow Sunday afternoon last week, Irvin Santana would be a Blue Jay right now. It's definitely one of the perils of waiting out the market, sure, but that's what 28 other teams were doing as well, waiting until Irvin presented himself at a price that they felt
right.
was appropriate. Once that happened, the Blue Jays got, I'm not going to say signed him, because obviously they didn't get a signature on a piece of paper. They got him. As soon as that happened, the Blue Jays got him. And then...
But they were taking a chance and waiting that long and waiting it out and being one of those other 28 teams, 29 teams that didn't land Irvin Santana. It was very possible that they were not going to land him. I know they thought that they did have him, but you could have taken the guesswork out of it if there was a longer term, higher money deal earlier in the offseason, I suppose. And I know
sure,
Alex.
But he's not worth that.
Okay, so then
he's not that good.
Okay,
that's the thing, right?
All right, I mean, so then Alex has to be totally fine with not landing him, which I guess he is, which is surprising, especially considering the other options outside of Drew Hutchison right now, in my opinion.
The other options outside of Drew Hutchison right now are not doing themselves any favors this spring, and the truth of the matter is, for the most part, there's no one in there who you could say, this guy's a really good major league starting pitcher. Ricky Romero was.
Yep.
The odds that he gets back to doing it are sky high, but or really, really small. I don't know which, but it's going to be really hard. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why I'm not in Mensa. But
I don't think that's the only reason.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. But you know, again, it's a fifth starter you're looking at, and I understand that the depth is not deep, and a front four of Dickey, Morrow, Burley, Hutchison is fine, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's good enough, more than good enough. And really, does any team in the major leagues have a fifth starter who's significantly better than whoever the Jays come out of it with, whether it's Jay Happ or Todd Redmond or Esmo Rogers or Ricky Romero? It's likely to be one of those four. No, I mean, I think we all get caught up in thinking that, you know, everybody's got these starting pitchers who are so much better than everything the Blue Jays have, and it really isn't true. Bottom of the rotation is bottom of the rotation across the big leagues, and Happ will be as good as any fifth starter will be. But if Brandon Morrow gets hurt again, or if Drew Hutchison doesn't work out, or if R.A. Dickey, you know, is the guy who pitched the first 2 months of last season and not the last 4 months of last season, then all of a sudden, you're looking at a very, very shaky pitching rotation.
Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays and Rays from Port Charlotte, just a couple hours away from Dunedin, right, Mike?
Yeah, a couple hours. I think it measures at something like 96 miles, but it's not all highway, obviously. So it'll take about 2 hours to get there. I think I'm on my way.
Are you driving through like swampland? Like, you have to take a fan boat? Do you have to go through the gator swamps?
No, they have these highways now, these interstate superhighways that you can drive on.
Oh, okay.
They're really quite lovely.
I've heard of that. Yeah. So
I'm in Bradenton as we speak, by the way. I'm driving through Bradenton.
Home of the Pirates, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the Blue Jays and Rays this afternoon, 12:30 pregame show with Mr. Mike Wilner, who joins us on the line right now. Yeah, we mentioned the other guy. So Hutchison's done. Like, he's in. He would have to, I don't know, blow up real good. And even then, I don't know. He's just looks. He's looked so good in spring. And it's just spring, right? And we can't put too much stock into these numbers, but it's all we've got. And especially for guys who realize the importance of it and realize that this is their only way to make a team, they put a lot of pressure on themselves. And pitchers are usually ahead of the hitters at this point, so you give them a little bit of an edge. And when you look at guys like Esmiel Rogers, Marcus Stroman hasn't produced. Jay Happ, we know he's got a little bit of an injury and was in bed like Brian Wilson for like 3 days. Todd Redman's been bad. Kyle Drabek's all that. Everybody's been bad, Mike. And I know it's just spring and it's not a huge deal, but you'd like for somebody to show something. Nobody out of that crop has really shown anything. And makes me think, I know Ricky Romero is not even on the 40-man roster right now, but honestly, out of all the candidates to be that number five starter, by merit alone, has he not been better than everybody?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're looking at such a, you know...
It's all we have.
Looking at it's not all we have. It's not. It's all we have this month.
Okay, so, we've also got an all-star. He's also an all-star. Yeah, he's also an all-star.
But he also had 2 years where he could not throw a ball anywhere, you know, anything resembling.
And what have those other guys done?
Well, you know, when you look at...
Well?
But I mean, even if you look at these at this spring, and I don't think you should, I think you have to take everything. And I think track records matter a lot more. Todd Redmond's had 2 really good performances and 2 really bad performances. And Marcus Stroman's been okay, but not great. He's shown me, I think, that he can pitch in the major leagues.
Really? You'd be comfortable breaking camp with Marcus Stroman right now, and you think that'd be the best thing for his development, for him to start the season as this team's number five pitcher?
I didn't say any of that.
Okay, that was a question. It was a question. I know it was phrased like a statement. It was a question, though.
Yeah. No, I think he's shown that if they needed Marcus Stroman to pitch in the major leagues, Marcus Stroman could pitch in the major leagues and be okay. But he could use a little more seasoning, and he could use the chance to go down and pitch in AAA and get a bunch of guys out and get through some tough situations and you know, just continue that learning process. But if they had to start with him, they have to start with him. He can pitch in the big leagues. Sean Nolan can pitch in the big leagues. I love what I've seen out of Sean Nolan, by the way, this spring. And he's starting today.
This is a big start for him, don't you think?
No, because I don't think he's going to make the team. I think that they're pretty secure in what they have and what they're going with, because, again, spring training, the numbers, you can't say it's all we have, because we have so much more than that. We have their careers, and we have the process. And so, in spring, process means way more than performance.
So especially
in these tiny little sample sizes. Of like, you know, you're saying no one's really distinguished themselves. You're absolutely right. No one's distinguished themselves. Who's pitched 10 innings?
Yeah.
Nobody.
So,
right?
So I mean, you're saying, okay, so then who is your, right now, if opening day was tomorrow, who's the Blue Jays' number five starter?
I think it's either Rogers or Redmond. I'm not in love with either one of those selections.
No.
Unless Ricky Romero continues to absolutely blow the doors off. Because Ricky, if he's back, and I'm not saying back to being an all-star, but back to what he was in 2009, 2010, then he helps this team immensely. And that's an incredible offseason pickup. If he continues to throw, and I don't mean get the results, because look at his first, he hasn't given up a run yet, right?
Right.
And in 2012, he didn't give up a run in all the spring training. And I think maybe he only gave up one hit, too. And he was out there, he started the season, he was terrible. But
didn't he start the season reasonably well?
He was 8-1, but he had an ERA over 5.
Yeah.
So he wasn't pitching well, but the team was scoring a bunch of runs for him. But his first outing was in Sarasota against the Orioles. He walks the first 2 guys he faces on 9 pitches total. Then it's Chris Davis, Adam Jones, Nick Markakis. He gets Chris Davis to pop up on a pitch that Chris Davis should have hit 550 feet, mm-hmm. but he just missed it and just popped it up.
Right.
Adam Jones, same thing, gets away with one, and then he got Nick Markakis out on a lazy fly ball. So Ricky got extraordinarily lucky that day. The next day out, the first batter he faces, 2 of his fastballs don't make it to home plate, but he still winds up striking that guy out. He struggles through the first inning with a couple of walks or a walk and a hit batsman or something like that, gets through the inning, and then his second inning, he's wonderful. Then he gets this outing last time, 4 innings, and he was the old Ricky, absolutely. So what we've seen is he struggled, and then he's had 5 really good innings. So can that continue? We'll see. But if it continues, and if something clicks, And if he's back, because now he's, you know, he's not talking like he used to. He did the last couple of years. He seems like he's no longer all stuck in his own head, and he's pitching like someone who's just trying to make a team, as opposed to someone who's trying to figure out exactly what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
If that continues, then yeah, he can make the team as a fifth starter, and I think they'll be okay. But Tuesday is huge for him. He's starting that game in Lakeland. Whereas Sean Nolan, it would be nice of him to show well in Port Charlotte today, as he's shown for most of the spring. But even if he throws four perfect innings, he's still like fifth on the depth chart to be the fifth starter out of camp.
Well, talking about small sample sizes, Sean Nolan has like one of the smallest of all times in the major leagues.
And, four out.
Yeah. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball, Jays and Rays this afternoon, 12:30 from Port Charlotte, as Sean Nolan going to get the start in that one. It's interesting how it works out. And we hear this every year. The Blue Jays aren't going to make decisions solely based on who's out of options and who they risk losing by not making this team. But it's pretty clear that it would be a pretty big tiebreaker if two guys are level. Probably want to take the guy that you don't risk losing.
Right, and they've said that.
Yeah, and they have.
They've said if it's close, the guy with the options wins. If it's not close, he doesn't.
I mentioned Romero not on
the
40.
The guy who's out of options,
Romero's not on the 40-man anymore, so somebody would have to come off. But I'm looking at the 40-man right now. There's guys that you could chuck, right? Like Liam Hendricks or, you know.
Luis Perez is on the 40-man roster, right?
On
the 60-day disabled list, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. You don't even have to lose a guy.
Yeah, okay, so that's not an issue. You know who's a guy we haven't talked about, and it's a guy I know we're hesitant to say can be in the mix for one of those starting spots because the trap door could open at any point, but Dustin McGowan.
He's not going to be in the mix for one of the starting spots.
Dustin McGowan's not going to be, but are they still going to continue to stretch him out, try to get that pitch count up?
He says they are. He was on the board for his last outing for one inning. But he told me afterwards that the plan was always for him to throw two, and that sometimes the board lies. And his first inning was only like seven pitches, so it was guaranteed that he was going to go back out. But he's also, the next time he's on the board, and I think it might be tomorrow, he's only on for one inning. So you would think that if he was being stretched out, there would be a three next to his name, or a two or three next to his name. Given the stomach virus, the 10 days off, I think that they've decided that they may push to try to make him a long guy, but, pardon me, there's no way he gets stretched out enough to start in the five-man to begin the season.
Blue Jays also talking about that dreaded eight-man bullpen, Mike. It's horrible. To go with such a short bench where it'd be Meiser Asturias and Moises Sierra and then your backup catcher, that's it. And that's scary. It's scary to think about.
The eight-man bullpen is an abomination.
It's horrible, Mike, but when you consider, like, especially if Ricky Romero does make this team as the fifth starter, maybe that's why he shouldn't, because at least you want a guy who, okay, maybe gets roughed around, you know, five earned runs over five innings, but at least he goes five or six and gives up his five, six runs. But if Romero has a bad day, he might not be getting out of the first because he's walking everybody, and you have to go to that bullpen, and then maybe it does make sense to have an eight-man bullpen if a guy like that is in your rotation. But for a major league team competing in the American League East to feel that it's necessary to have that super extra long man in the bullpen because you have such little faith in your rotation, I mean, it just brings me back to Irvin Santana and how maybe undervalued Alex Anthopoulos had him, and how much this team needs an extra starter, especially considering how spring has gone. But an eight-man bullpen, scary to me, Mike.
I hate an eight-man bullpen. I really do. I'm honest when I say it's a blight on the face of Major League Baseball. I think it's terrible. And honestly, it's not a terrible point with Romero, but if you're taking him, then you've got to be confident that he...
But how could you be? How could you be?
Far between. I don't know that you can. I don't know that you can. But you also can't be scared of him to use him if he's back to being someone who could be a productive major leaguer. And you have to see that in spring. And again, it's process. It's not performance. Is he pitching ahead? Is he throwing strikes? Is he able to use the changeup as an out pitch? Because the changeup never left.
Right. It's just people stop swinging at it.
Right. They stopped swinging at it because they were ahead in the count. And if you're behind in the count, you have to swing at it. If you're ahead in the count, you don't. So if he can pitch ahead, and it's all fastball command. If he can throw his fastball for strikes, then he can use the changeup to get people out, and then he's not going to walk the world. But, I mean, I don't know that you can be confident in Jay Happ that that's going to happen. Todd Redmond couldn't get out of the first inning in the last game of the season last year. So, you know, it's not like you'd be replacing him with someone who is super reliable. And you would think that, yeah, that's probably what you would have gotten from Irvin, is someone who's super reliable. But everyone's going to blow up every once in a while. You just hope it doesn't happen too often. For me, the eight-man bullpen hinges on one guy. And maybe it does matter, performance in the spring. But again, it's the process, too. And that's Jeremy Jeffress. Jeremy Jeffress is a guy who has an unbelievable arm. Yeah. And he seemed to have righted himself last year when he got the epilepsy medicine straight, and he was able to sleep work out and do things normally, which he couldn't do before. But he's been terrible this spring. And if he continues to be really, really terrible, then maybe you don't worry so much about keeping him, especially when you've got a healthy McGowan and Delabar and Santos and Casey Jansen and all these guys in your bullpen. So you can slip him through waivers, maybe. And if you lose him on waivers, then you lose him on waivers. It didn't cost you anything to get him. You had him for a year.
I don't know how concerned you should be about keeping a guy that the Houston Astros thought, you know, maybe we should let this guy go as well, you know?
The Houston Astros.
Wasn't it the Houston Astros that picked him up? Who picked him up after the Blue Jays? He was on waivers from the Blue Jays last year. Was it not the
nobody.
Astros?
Oh, no, nobody.
Okay.
He got through.
Oh, he did get
we
through.
All thought the
well,
Astros
okay, so it was worse. The Astros didn't even think he was worth picking up.
Yeah. and maybe they do what they did last year, and that's you start the season with an eight-man bullpen just because you think that once teams set their rosters, it'll be more difficult for them to pick somebody up on waivers, and you send down a reliever after the first week, which wouldn't be so, so terrible if you try to sneak a guy through waivers like that. But really, I mean, are you going to kill yourself to keep Todd Redmond? I like Todd Redmond. No. Todd Redmond did a great job for the Jays last year, and he could very well wind up being their fifth starter to start the season. But everybody's got a Todd Redmond. There are a lot of Todd Redmonds out there.
Yep.
So, no, you don't jump through roster hoops to keep a guy like that.
Before we let you go, Mike, that platoon bat for Adam Lind against lefties, I guess, is going to be Moises Sierra to start the season. We thought, you know, going into spring training, despite the fact that it had started, the Blue Jays had a couple of spots maybe they were looking to fill. And I guess there's still time for somebody to get cut late in spring. Another team, a big righty slugger guy, but I don't know who that is. And it's getting pretty late in the game now. We're talking about 2 weeks from Monday, opening game of the season. But and Moises Sierra has to make this team. He's out of options unless they trade him. He's that bad against lefties, I guess.
I don't know about that. First of all, the one name that sticks out among all those sluggers that are going to be dangled is Dion Vicieto with the White Sox. He's out of options, too, and they have to decide between him and Alejandro Deaza. So he may be in the same boat as Sierra, and may very well get dangled in trade.
Who would you rather have? I guess Vicieto has the longer track record.
Yeah, with a 900 OPS against lefties for his career.
Right. I think defensively, Sierra's the better option, but I guess you're not looking at either guy playing much defense.
No, and maybe, you go fourth guy on the bench, and you hang with a seven-man bullpen if that happens, and you bring in a Vicieto. I'm not sure that that Adam Lind's platoon partner is here yet. And I think that the last week of spring training, the last 2-3 days, even once they're in Montreal, that's when teams start to have to cut bait on the out-of-option guys who aren't going to make the team, and that's when we see some minor trades made. And if you're looking for that big bat against lefties who, is a platoon DH, those are often guys that get caught in the numbers game when options come down. And I still think, I don't think it's late in the game at all. I think that we're going to see something in those last 3-4 days of spring training that whether it's trade, a waiver pickup, something like that, I think we'll see a move.
Good stuff, Mike. So you've never taken an IQ test in your life?
I don't know. I think I did when I was a kid. To put me in whatever streaming for school or something.
Yeah.
I'm not in Mensa, though.
No. I think we've established that over the last 20 minutes.
I think,
oh,
like,
boom,
you,
roasted.
Probably
roasted.
Like the top 40% of the population.
Hey, congrats. It's good. Congrats to you. Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball. Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure. Make sure you listen to the baseball game. Jose Reyes is going to be my guest on the pregame show.
Really? He's not making the trip, though, right?
No, we did it yesterday. That's how I know he's going to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then. We'll be listening for sure. Thank you, Michael. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.